Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Give it up for my attention headache.
Oh, no. Do you need drugs?
Nah.
Okay.
Not from you.
Just a regular kind.
Yeah, it's fine. I can't tell if it's from clenching this third cold brew or my like weirdly stressful week.
Or all of the above.
All of the above.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Everyone's buttholes is just clenched.
What? I'm sorry, what?
As you were telling me that, I remember scrolling past an article that was like, people really got to start working on these headlines. But it was like basically something to the effect of like, the liquid way to cure your tension. And they were talking about masseter muscle Botox, basically.
Mm.
And how it's like rising in popularity for TMJ and yeah. clenching, which is what I get it for. And just like the fact that so many people are searching it and doing it and like just looking into it. So I was like, so everybody's just fucking clenched.
Yeah.
For the past 3 years, we just been clenching.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't not get Botox for my jaw situation. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Did you put it on your stories?
About like 3 weeks ago.
But did you story it? Or like,
I did story it briefly.
Fuck, I think I'm thinking of somebody and that needle just slid in. I was like,
it's a tiny needle. They're very small. It doesn't really hurt.
But I know if I got it for my jaw, I'd be like, where else can you put it?
I mean, nothing on your face.
Louder.
Your face is immobile. And like, you don't do Botox. So I'm just like, you do not, like, you're
That's
good.
That's true.
You're good.
Well, thank you.
But
I have started retinol though, and it's become my entire personality.
Prescription.
I just up my dosage.
Oh my God. Retinoid man.
Yeah. So far it's been fine.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I started in Thanksgiving, then I just upped the dosage, and like, aside from like a teeny bit of sensitivity here and there, I'm totally fine.
Dude, retinoid fucked my shit up.
Really?
Yeah. I also don't think I should have been on it.
Yeah.
But it's like some dermatologist was like, yeah, take it. And I was like, okay. And I was like, why every time I go to a doctor, they always just try to prescribe me everything. And I'm like, is this wise?
I'll take everything.
What?
I'm sucking that shit out of the tube. It's funny. I went to the derm. Do you remember I had this weird sort of like reaction around Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
It was right before Thanksgiving. And like, I don't know what it was. And you couldn't really see it, but I could feel it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this isn't good. And it was on my face. And I was like, oh. And it was right before Thanksgiving. And I was like, I don't think I need to go to the derm for this. But like, if they close for the next 4 days and this gets worse, I'm going to feel crazy. So I went and they kept me waiting for a while in the room, which is fine. But of course I went in, I was like, this is a non-issue and I know that, but I'm coming out of here with a retinol. And the nurse comes in, she's like, I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. Everyone comes in here for like one thing and has 50 other questions. And I was like, oh my God, no problem. Thinking like, little do you know, I'm coming in for one non-issue with 50 other questions and a prescription needed.
Yeah.
And I walked out of there with the retinol and here I am.
There you go. What do you say? You're just like, I think I need retinol.
Well, I told him.
How do you get them to give you the drugs you want?
I told him I was in beauty and he was like, oh, I wasn't going to prescribe you a retinol because you know your stuff. And I was like, Loki, that's why I'm here. Joke's on you. And he was like, sure. So it was like the easiest thing.
Yeah. I always think it's like sus to be like, can I get this drug from doctors? They're like, why?
I mean, that's
although
what they're there
in
for.
My experience, doctors are always very happy to prescribe anything. So I'm like, why am I?
Right.
Why do I care?
Right.
If anything, I'm just like, are you sure I need steroids? And they're like, sure, if it'll help. And I was like, but are you sure?
That wasn't an answer.
Yeah, it's like, what is it?
It's like the Spider-Man meme, just like pointing at each other.
But yeah. Oh, the last time I got my masseter muscle treatment, it was Daxxify, which is like the Botox competitor, the neuromodulator competitor, because Botox's trademark is expired now. So now there's like all these neuromodulators like Xeomin, which you keep seeing like all these celebrities right for. It's just so weird to have a celebrity being like, I Xeomin to help me be me. And I'm like, we know.
Yeah, we know. Better that though than like J-Lo being like,
I'm
olive oil.
I'm famous and over scrutinized. Therefore, I use these injectables to help with my ego.
I love Christina Aguilera going to bat for Botox. Like, you might as well.
It's so funny.
It's so funny. I love it.
But yeah, I've been daxed. Apparently though, if you want to use it for aesthetic purposes, like slimming your jaw, you have to do it every 3 to 6 months.
Oh, I don't want
which
that.
Which is like fucking expensive.
That would trip my shit out.
Yeah.
My face looks different every day.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't need to.
Because you use this muscle all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's constantly just like rebuilding itself.
Right.
So if you actually want to slim your jaw, you have to do it very frequently, and it's very expensive if you get it done by the unit or like the CC, whatever.
Right.
I don't know math. I only get it done if it is offered to me for free mm-hmm. from a dermatologist or a plastic surgeon. So nothing in my life is consistent. But yeah, I'm gonna get doxed. Oh my God. Wait, why was your week stressful?
Oh, just all the aforementioned shit.
Okay.
Just,
you don't want to talk about it.
Work, apartment, just yeah. every, like, girl, when it rains, it pours.
The New York City shuffle.
Oh, God.
I found my dream place. No, you didn't.
God. I am naming a fragrance, though.
Oh, my God. That's so cool.
Yeah. Which is.
Wait, can you say who for?
I'm not sure. Okay. So I won't. No, they reached out to me. I've worked with the company before, but not this brand. And they're like, we cannot get a name through legal. We hear you're good to work with. Like, will you help us? Oh, and I was God. Like, all you need is a name.
Oh, my God.
And they were like, yeah. And they had to really, like, it's a pretty aggressive timeline, but it was already laid out being like, this is round one. This is the legal review. This is round two. This is legal review. I'm like, okay. So
did they send you the names that they tried to choose?
Yes. Well, they sent me a list of like 50 names. And I was like, bitch, you can get any of these through. Damn. And they're like, no, we only sent like five yeah. through. And I was like, well, then send the other 45. But
maybe they have to pay per name.
I don't, I think they have their own legal counsel. I'm not sure. But anyway, yeah. I mean, like, I'll do it. So I'm having a good time with that.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. That sounds like such a fun job. But also frustrating, because if you think of something brilliant and then you can't use it, it's like, ugh.
Yeah. Well, some reason I thought it was a men's fragrance. I was like, oh, let me get this shit out the way. And then they sent me the brief and the deck, and I was like, oh, it's for ladies. Great. So
is it like a for women fragrance?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Isn't it so nice when you get an email from someone who's like, hey, we heard you were like the person to go to?
Yeah.
I got an email from the editor of this new website, not new website, for an existing website. I was like, oh, I've heard of you, and like, I know you're good in like the tech world, but like, they're launching everybody's launching a fucking beauty vertical because they realize it's money. Yeah. So the editor reached out and was like, hey, like, we worked together briefly when you were at Allure, like, would love for you to contribute to our beauty vertical. Sick. And then she was like, yeah, so and so from, it was Chloe Hall.
I would love out. Her. Do you yeah. know her?
We follow each other on Instagram, but I don't think we've ever had a conversation.
Oh my God.
We've never spoken.
One time she like replied to one of my Instagram stories and I like dropped dead.
Yeah, she's like the coolest girl in the
queen
world.
Queen of the universe.
I know. Anyway, so this like very cool former magazine editor who we are mutual follows, but we've never actually interacted.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, so-and-so said that you were such a flex in the beauty world to get. So I'm so glad we're working together. And I was like, yeah. What?
Fuck yeah, that's great.
And I was like, that's such a nice email to get.
Remind me, I don't know that I can say this on the mic, and if I can, I'm not sure I want to, but let me remind me to tell you something about a certain website that is coming to fruition soon.
Okay.
Started by someone that we know.
Dida? Wait.
No, they're just
can you say
on some bullshit again.
Okay.
It's just like, I don't fucking know.
Did they reach out to you?
No, okay, no, not really. Good. And I might actually cut this up, but they, okay. So I tweeted this thing that was like, you know, the editorial landscape right now with the I tried it's the TikToks, yep, the influencer of it all, it feels very Exo Jane again. Mm-hmm. Everyone's looking like Exo Jane again right now. So it's like Jane Pratt might as well come back and finish what she started. Just like factual.
Yeah.
And they responded to it. They just said hello. And then like a week later, Dita responded to the tweet and they were like, hey, can we post this and like credit you? I didn't respond. Mm-hmm. They deleted the ask, posted it anyway, and tagged me.
That's shady.
And I'm like, I know that whatever you put on social is like fair game, whatever, but don't fucking ask, then delete the ask and post anyway. It's just such a nasty move. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Am I surprised? Absolutely not.
I know. Time's a fucking flat circle. Also, yeah. I know who's fucking running that account. And it was a Thursday night. I had just come from an event. I had like two beers in me. I was feeling just spicy enough. And I was like, let me post this.
Yeah.
Let me tag the social editor and the brand and be like, you're fucking clowns. But I was like, you know what? Keep it cute. Like,
it's
so now I'm
talking
shit on my podcast.
To not post when you are compromised.
But I'm also like, leave my fucking name and face out of it. Like,
it's weird, yeah.
I know no one gives a shit about it or me, fine. But I'm like, I was a part of the last thing that you did. And a lot of us feel some type of way, good or bad, whatever.
Oh, they don't know or care about that.
It's weird. What?
They don't know or care about the fact that anyone has feelings about that.
I think they know.
I don't think they care.
They definitely don't fucking care. But I was like, this is weird. And it looks like a cosign. And I'm not saying I do or don't, but I'm like, leave me the fuck out of it.
No, it does look like a cosign.
You know what I mean?
It's just weird that they asked you and then instead of waiting for a response, deleted the ask and then did it anyway.
Yeah,
that's shady.
Okay, cool.
Dodgy.
This is how we're doing it then.
Unsurprising.
Huh?
This is already off to a dodgy start.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. I wish you had posted. and tag them.
I still can.
You still can.
I mean, like, they're not going to reach out to me to whatever. And no. Like, it's, even if they did, I probably wouldn't. It's just like, don't need to go down the road again.
I don't see it flying. I don't see it thriving.
I can because it's commerce. Mm. But I just can't get back on the ride. But
there's just so much going on that you're just another voice in the cacophony of echoing screams. That is the internet, as all of us are. Good luck.
Me being like, I wouldn't go back, but if they asked me to be their beauty editor, I might. But they wouldn't. They're not going to.
I don't think I would at this point. I also don't get the name.
I do it for a year. It means it means like someone was trying to pronounce sister when they were young. I think
that's a dumb reason to do anything.
Well, I mean, yeah.
That's true.
Anyway.
But then sometimes every time I think a name is dumb, I'm like, well, look at Google.
Literally.
Look at Yahoo. Like, yeah. Those flew. Okay, sure. Now it's just, we don't even think of it as a silly word. It's just the name of the thing. So, I don't know.
Did you see a lot of the former writers were, like, sort of speaking their piece on stories when the news came out?
Yeah. I don't give a shit to entertain that.
No, neither really do I.
The truth is, I just don't have thoughts or feelings about it.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't have them. It's so far removed from my life. Like, I'm not the person I was then.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's scrubbed from the internet, frankly. Yeah. But I'm just like, it happened.
I mean,
whatever.
If we're going to keep it a stack, like, I really loved it at the time. And it really, like, I got it a lot better than a lot of people did.
Same.
You know, they were pretty good to me.
Yeah.
And by, I don't mean the site, which was very good to me.
Yeah,
I mean the readership. Yeah. I got some shit, but it wasn't as bad. But also, I can't deny that I'm here because of that site.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
100%.
So it's like, I don't know. That's, it's an odd thing to look back on.
I know. I'm proud of the work I did.
I am too.
It was a great lesson in writing for the internet, as like, they just throw you into the deep end there. Yeah,
completely.
But like,
and the internet was so different too.
Yeah. And like, I liked the readership. I liked the community, but I also learned that they will turn on you in a second. So don't trust any of those two pages.
That, but they will also defend you too. It was just, it was a weird, just like self-leveling situation.
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of what happens today with like influencers and shit.
Yeah.
So I don't want any of that.
No.
I don't need it. And it takes up too much space in my brain to think about being present in a digital space. Mm-hmm. And also, like, I have to think about it because that's literally my whole career. Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see. I'm sure we'll get an email somewhere down the line.
Maybe. Hopefully I'll be too busy then. Theoretically, I'm too busy now, but I also gravely mismanage my time. So that's on me.
There's that. I wouldn't entertain it unless they offer me a staff position.
Yeah.
Period.
But for how much?
A lot of fucking money. Mm-hmm. You're a commerce site. Run me a bag, bitch. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, they want to be a commerce site. We'll see how that actually works.
That's true. Yeah. I just feel like everyone that we know posted something and it all had the same like tone. That's whatever.
I also think everybody is really hungry for like tea from that era. Everyone keeps being like, what's the tea? What's the gossip? Like, what's the, they just want to mine for like, what is it? Gossip? The toxicity.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel nice when someone's like, tell us all the bad things. And I'm like, there were. I'm not saying there weren't, but also like, what is this benefit to bring that up?
Yeah. Also like, I could tell you whatever you want. Your mind's already made up. You know?
Yeah. I also wasn't that involved in it, really.
What do you mean?
I mean, I was, but like, I felt very removed from all like the...
I think that's just your personality.
I think you're right too. I always feel a little bit removed from everything. Yeah. I'm like, bye.
It feels weird to like speak ill of, because again, like I said, I had a pretty good time with it.
Yeah.
And it like,
I met really, some of my best friends. I met you.
I met you. Yeah.
Allie, Rachel, Kara, Marcy. Mm-hmm. We all still talk to this day. Like they're my best friends. Yeah. So that actually is awesome.
Yeah. So weird how that site changed the trajectory of my life. Completely.
That's what I think about the most, honestly. I'm completely. Like, what would I be doing if I never wrote for ExoVane? I don't fucking know, because I was doing fuck all before that.
I was, yeah, fuck.
I was just a really mean shop girl.
That's so crazy.
I know.
Ew.
Weird, right?
Anyway, don't post people's shit without asking for permission. And if you do, wait for the permission before you post it, you fucking creeps.
Yeah.
Anyway. Wish them the best, genuinely.
That sounded sincere.
I mean, what else do you say?
Oh my god. Tynan, what do you smell like today?
I smell like a fragrance called There Is Bliss and Then There Is You.
Oh, you were telling me about this.
Yes, but now I'm actually wearing it. I have it. So I asked you about universal flowering because I got exposed to them by our friend Marissa Zappas, queen of the world. And they are a very indie brand that has a good handful of scents. This is not correct, but I want to say like 14, 15. Like they've got a bunch. And I know nothing about the brand. I don't know who runs it. We have DM'd very briefly. But obviously, this scent name reached out and grabbed me by the balls and has not let me go. And I actually bought a discovery kit from them. And, you know, being in the line of work we're in, we can often just reach out and have things sent to us. But they're such a small brand that I was like, I don't know if I feel ethically okay about that. You know what I mean? Like, local man discovers ethics. But so, yeah, I bought a discovery kit of what I thought were 4 cents. They sent me 5. And I really like all of them, actually.
Which ones did you get?
So I am not going to be able to remember them. I bought There Is Bliss and then There Is You. I bought Purple Afternoon, which is a coffee scent. I bought Holy Hell, and those are the only ones I can remember. There's a beachy scent that you would really like with notes of toasted seashells. Ooh. And it's one of those like kind of grimy, salty, beachy scents. That I was like, fuck, I was actually going to bring it for you. Damn. You would like it. I brought one more. Yeah,
I have a scent called Daddy, which I think is funny.
I hate that, but yes. Yeah, we're all in our so daddy silly. Yeah, I really like everything that I tried, but I really like this one. They told me that it was their most polarizing scent.
Oh.
And I guess I don't really know why, because it's lovely. It's just weird. It has notes of saffron. Oh!
Oh, wait. That's
saffron
the
flower.
Yes.
F-L-O-U-R.
You texted me about
yes. It. You would gag for that fragrance.
Okay.
It's very good. Fuck, I should have brought this conversation over. There Is Bliss and Then There Is You contains saffron, copper wire accord, Szechuan pepper, chestnut, nut. What? Chestnut and Haitian vetiver.
I love a Szechuan pepper note.
Yeah, it's just like very musky, electric, and metallic in a really exciting way. I don't know. I really, really enjoy it. I will say that a few out of the 5 cents that I purchased have a pretty noticeable base of patchouli, which like I don't love, but I do like the scents a lot. This one does not have that. And it's just very sort of spicy and fizzy and staticky and not sweet, but not sweet. It sort of like feels like a static around a balloon. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or like licking a outlet or something. Yeah, I really like it. And I would encourage everyone to check out Universal Flowering. I think their shit is really great. I think the storytelling is really great. Even just like have a romp through the website because like the notes are really interesting. The stories around them are very interesting. Yeah, it's a brand that I'm going to continue wearing and one of the only brands that I've gotten excited about lately. So yeah.
Cool. I'll have to order some samples from
that. Yeah, I don't think you'll regret it. And I just really enjoyed sort of like narrowing things down, my 4 down, because, yeah, like I said, the website's just like really fun to go through. And it's like, as for a fragrance, I think our listeners would like it because for people who love fragrance, it's a really cool site to like explore and like get to know and like see how they work. So, yeah, I love it.
Sick.
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Okay, so I am having another medical crisis there. Is it asthma? Is it allergies? I don't know, but I've realized that every cyclical 5 or 6 weeks, my nasal passages are just like, we're done. Yep. And they swell shut and I can't smell anything. And it started like 2 weeks ago, but it was just like very gradual and it would go like in and out. And I'm like, oh, we're going to fucking do this again. I see. And then I went to Miami this week just for like 2 days to meet up with some friends there. And of course, as soon as I was like, going on vacation, it's like, now you will never smell anything ever again, nor will you taste anything, which is very unfortunate.
Too?
Oh, dude, yeah. As soon as you can't smell, you can't fucking taste shit.
Fuck.
We're eating at all these nice restaurants, and I'm like, you know what? This texture of this food slaps, but I can't taste it for
shit. Where did you eat, Miami?
We went to this place called Shaw.
Okay.
It's Mediterranean. We went to a lot of Mediterranean places now that I think about it. Yeah. And another place called Kalamata. Something.
Okay.
I really wanted to go to the one Cuban spot that I loved, Puerto Sagua, but again, I was like, is it even worth it? Yeah. I'm just like intaking all these saturated fats and cholesterol and I can't even taste them. That was like another thing where I was like, I don't really want to spend too much money on food I can't taste.
Right. I mean, that's real. So
that sucked. And like going to a different environment where you can't smell anything is fucking weird. Because it's like the whole time I was like, I feel like I'm not here.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I'm in a bubble and I can't really smell anything. And then weirdly, the one full day we had there, we were like, we're just going to go to the beach, lay out in the sand. We're going to take some mushrooms and just like vibe.
Stop doing drugs.
Why? I'm an adult. I can do drugs if I want to. But the very brief moment that I was on mushrooms, like at the peak, I could smell again. And I'm like, what is this?
Oh, wow.
How did this happen? And it could have just been from walking around and running around like the motion. But I was like, huh.
That's odd.
That's really weird.
Huh.
It was extremely brief, though. And then it went away again. I was like, God damn it.
Are you sure it went just high?
I don't know. I mean, a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. But it was very fun. And we were just lying on the beach, and it wasn't super packed. I think it was like spring break, so there were a lot of young people there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. There was this group of like 16 blonde girls just like sunning themselves with like asses fully out.
Perfect.
I love that about Miami. It's just like asses out mm-hmm. everywhere. Like, don't sit down without like looking first, like, or wiping the seat. And then we just kept watching these boys like their age just like try and riz with them and just strike out every time.
I love that.
Like, it was like embarrassing at this point. I'm like, what do you think you're doing going up to a group of 16 blonde women?
Well, yeah.
Like, what are you going to do with 16 girls, dude? Like, right. where are you going to take them? Right. You're going to buy them all drinks? Really? Right. But all these girls were just like not like having it.
Spent $200 yeah. on a round for these girls who are not going to talk to you.
Yeah. Like, they weren't having it.
Yeah.
And it was, like, clear that these dudes were, like, really trying. And I was like, bro, get the hint.
Yeah.
And then I was trying to egg on my friend Jared, who's on the trip. And I was like, you should go over there and be like, ladies, do you need help? Girls love that. No, I'm kidding. Or you should go up there as, like, the third contender and be like, I noticed you don't have a silly little man here to entertain you and give you the teehee energy. Like, do you need that? Because if, like, a dude came up to me and, like, my girlfriends and was like, I'm just here to entertain you and give you like a little teehee, I would be like, show me what you got.
Yeah. All right. You're
give
on.
Give your best shot. You're on. We need a jester. Yeah. Every group needs a jester.
Right. Right. That's so funny.
But yeah, we were both on mushrooms. So I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
That's fair. I had the, what I think is the best sandwich of my entire life in Miami.
Fuck,
like,
where?
I think about it all the time.
Where?
I fucking should have told you. It's called this place called La Sandwichery. Literally, it sounds fake. And it's just like a sandwich stand.
Oh.
And
well, like, Miami is like a big food scene, apparently. Mm-hmm. I wish I could have experienced it, but I fucking couldn't.
Yeah.
And then on the plane ride back yesterday, the fucking pressure must have fucked with me even more because my whole head just sealed shut. Like, every orifice in my head just sealed shut on that plane. And I was like, no. And then this, like, one woman was being really cunty to me. And I was like, why are you making this my business?
Oh, I hate that.
Okay, so I have TSA pre-check because I'm a princess and because I hate waiting and because I'm always late to the airport. And my friends didn't. So I was like, see you on the other side. And the regular line is like a lot longer. But as I was waiting for them, I realized, I'm like, man, all the people in this TSA line are fucking annoying as shit because they're all entitled. They all have to get there before everybody else. Mm-hmm. Like, it's only their flight that they're going to be late for. Like, it's the fucking worst people. Even though I'm like, the whole reason you pay $80 a year, every 5 years actually, to do this is so you can chill.
Yeah.
Like, because I want to be chill. I don't want to be stressed. That's why I do this.
Right.
So it's like the fact that you are stressing around me, it's very unchill. And then this one woman was just like, I'm the only person who matters. Get out of my way. Like, I need to put my shoes. Also, I was like, you don't need to take your shoes off, bitch. Like, that's how we paid this fee.
Right.
So she had her shoes off and then was like a big to do about like putting them back on. I don't know. She's like, can you move? And then like her teenage daughter was like, I'm sorry.
Can we say cunt on this podcast?
But yes.
Okay.
We can now.
Okay.
I like saw her coming at me and I like could feel the negative cunty energy like before I even saw her. I was like, she's going to do something. This woman is going to do something to me and I'm not going to like it.
That's so funny.
As like a frazzled mother, I was like, I just don't pick my battles with these women. I know it. I understand it. Her very apologetic daughter was with her and I was like, girl, that's your mom. Like, right. I feel bad for you. Right. I should apologize to you for that.
Right.
But like the cunty mommy energy was just too strong. And then she was on her flight, of course.
Of course she was, because of course she was.
And then as I was meeting them at the gate, they were like, yeah, we had like the weirdest interaction with this one woman. And then he like pointed, I was like, yep, that's yep. the cunty mommy. Yep. She's here to make everyone's life a living hell.
So funny. So how did we, I'm not going to ask you who we have on today because yes. I know we'll get there, but I cannot remember how we got to this episode. There was a scent that we talked about being trademarked, right? This has been a long time in the works.
This has been a long time. Okay. So this episode, I feel like we were putting out feelers like last year
yeah.
for lawyers. Also, because we were like, do we need lawyers? just like to have, you know, just to have, yep. just in case.
I mean, the answer is yes.
Just in case I get hungry later and need a little lawyer.
Right. Like,
a little lawyer snack. I think I had listened to a podcast where they were talking about scent trademarking.
Okay.
It was like a little aside in the podcast. And then I was like, wait, that's a thing you can do? And then the more I looked into it, the more I was like, wait, this is super interesting and it seems to be undercovered. Mm-hmm. I think I only found about a dozen scents that have been successfully trademarked. It's very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, wait, how can you trademark a scent? Because obviously we had talked about scent branding a lot.
Yeah.
We talked to people who do totally. That. But then what's the difference? Like, how do you own a scent? Basically, that's what it came down to. I was like, how does one own a scent?
Sure.
And then that branched like a million more questions from that.
Yeah.
So we got in touch with some lawyers and we're like, we do not want to pay you legal fees, but... Can you give us legal advice? Just kidding. In the form of a podcast. I put out feelers, just like on Instagram.
Yep.
And Nikita, our good friend Nikita.
Yeah, shout out to Nikita.
Yeah, she was like, hey, do you want to talk to my lawyers? And I was like, you have lawyers? Of course you do. You're a very professional woman.
Yeah.
And she connected us to her lawyers. They were very open to the idea of coming on our podcast to talk about scent trademarking. And here we are.
Yeah, we had this little intro call and I was like, God, like, you never know what to expect. You know what I mean? Like, we're getting on a call with lawyers. This could not end well. But yeah, they were like very down to clown.
Yeah.
They were sort of like, what do you want from us?
Yeah,
and that was, we're sort of like, so we're not sure. But yeah, after that call, I was like, okay, they get it. This will be fun.
Yeah.
And here we are.
And here we are.
So I guess we're going to talk about scent trademarking.
We're going to talk about the law.
Yeah.
I'll see you in court.
So I'm Maxwell Brisman Stanfield. I'm an attorney and a partner at the law firm of Myra Kubik & Scott in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So I'm a transactional attorney, which means I don't litigate and I don't go to court. And that's to my benefit. But my practice is broadly focused on entertainment and media law. And I also do a lot of corporate law and business law, mergers and acquisitions, commercial real estate, other things here and there in the transactional world. But again, I'm 100% transactional based and I've been doing it for a little over 10 years now.
Wow.
Cool. Dave, what about you?
So Dave Oberdick, I work with Maxwell. In fact, he and I work together on a number of different matters, obviously at the same firm where I'm of counsel, which just means I'm a little older than Maxwell.
But better looking.
I'd share our intellectual property group, which means, and I'll just define a little bit of what that means. Intellectual property relates to patents, trademarks, copyrights, and trade secrets, and a little bit of the right of publicity as well. And I know we're talking about trademarks today, which is one of those, and we can get a little more of the details. But in my capacity, I do go to court. I also am dealing with trying to get all of those things protected, either by way of registration rights or contracts. I negotiate licenses and otherwise keep very busy on a daily basis. So I'll let it go with that.
It sounds like it. Wow.
Yeah. Oh my God. Going to court sounds so intimidating.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I would have to like amp myself up and like have a court voice.
Dave's much braver than I am. I'll give him that. I would crumble.
Doing my best to stay out of court.
Yeah.
And that.
Yeah, especially as a party. You don't want to be a party in court because that means you couldn't get something resolved and you're going to let someone else decide your fate for you. So we can come back to that later.
Sounds like a drag. So we start off every episode by asking our guests, and Maxwell, we'll start with you. Maxwell, what do you smell like today?
Hopefully good. I always like to start my day smelling good. Today's hair wash day for me, so I probably still smell like my Kevin Murphy hair conditioner that I use. But on a normal day, on any given day, I really enjoy the cologne, the scent of H24 by Hermes.
Oh my God, I love that cologne so much.
Oh God.
I like that one. It's so a good spring plant cologne. It's light, it's bright, it has notes of sage and rosewood, and it's happy, and it's a good transitional scent.
Go off, King. Yeah, we both love H24.
Yeah. When I smelled it, I was like, men, what's stopping you from smelling like this?
Right?
Well, Luca Turin, who's like the godfather of scent, he is this very iconic fragrance critic and writer, said that was, what did he call it? Like the best men's fragrance ever or something?
I think ever.
Or like the best Hermes has ever done. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Anyway, it was highly critically acclaimed.
Yes. Dave, what about you?
Well, probably a combination of my golden retriever, but the cologne would be Skull and Roses.
Ooh.
Who's that ass?
You know, I'm not even sure where that comes from. It's just something I stumbled across and I get some interesting compliments that doesn't, it's a scent, a fragrance that people don't usually experience. So it's a nose catcher, as they say.
I love that.
Nice.
Nice.
That must sound really cool when people are like, what are you wearing? You're like, Skull and Roses. So We are discussing trademarks today, particularly scent trademarks and what that entails. Okay. Preface, Tynan and I know nothing about law or rules.
And I'm trying to keep it that way.
Justice.
I mean, aside from this chat, I'm trying to stay out of the legal system.
Yeah, we are coming
aside from breaking the rules, right?
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't even know I'm breaking the rules. So. But of all the things that are involved in trademarking a scent, I think, as you mentioned earlier, intellectual property is a big component of that. Can you define what intellectual property actually means?
Sure. Intellectual property is distinguished from real property. Real property is the stuff that we can touch and hold or actually see. It could be, you know, the house that you own, the lawn. It could be a television, a car. That's all real property. Intellectual property is more intangible. It's still owned, and typically it is intended to try to find ways of protecting thoughts and ideas, expressions, and trademarks. I mentioned the types of intellectual property that exist. Patents. Patents protect ideas. That could be a formula, a method, things that we're trying to protect that are functional in nature. Copyrights protect expression. When we think of copyrights, they can apply to paintings, books, you know, works of art, but also expression in the form of software code. It is something that is expressed and visible, if you will. Trademarks protect sources of origin. They are names, brands, symbols, and we'll talk about things such as smells. They can be sounds. They can be colors, all of which serve as a source indicator. Let me give an example.
Okay.
And this is where I get to ask questions. If I throw out the word apple, what do you think of?
A fruit?
Anything else?
Or the computer company?
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Apple, if you're in a dinner conversation, a bar conversation, whatever, if you hear the word apple, its standard meaning for decades is a fruit, something that we eat. But it also now means in our minds a software company. And a software has nothing to do with a little red or a little green orb that we eat. But over the course of time, Apple has become a source indicator. When we hear that word or we see an Apple icon associated with that company, in our minds, there's a secondary meaning. Our minds drift toward that company. And that means that's a pretty strong mark because a fruit has nothing to do with software, but they branded their company in a way where that name now compels us on a secondary level to associate with that company. There's other names, iconic names like that. Nike, Adidas, McDonald's, on a standalone basis, they would not mean anything but for the fact that as consumers, we've become to associate those with certain goods or services. Nike and Adidas with wearing apparel, other things, McDonald's with fast food and certain French fries or McNuggets or whatever the case may be. Those are names, but the same might apply to an icon, the McDonald's Golden Arches or the Nike Swish. And I'll give another example that kind of crosses all of this intellectual property. Coca-Cola over the years has held many different types of patents, copyrights, trademarks, and even trade secrets. Their formula, many people will recite as a good example of a trade secret. We may know the ingredients of Coca-Cola, but the method of making it has remained a trade secret. There's a lot of colas out there, but if you taste a Coca-Cola, you know what it is. And that's been protected as a trade secret over the course of time. Their hobble skirt bottle, that iconic bottle that we now sometimes find in antique stores, is now a trademark of Coca-Cola. Because when you see that bottle, again, there's that secondary association with Coca-Cola. That bottle also was the subject of a design patent. It was patented for a time period. And then Coca-Cola does a lot of advertising, the polar bears and other things. All of those things are protected by copyright. But the name Coca-Cola, the bottle that they use, those are examples of trademarks because they identify the source of a particular good, that is a soft drink that has a cola taste. So let me pause there and ask, does that help? Does that sort the landscape a little bit?
It does for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I'm curious how do they prove, for instance, like how does Apple prove that they can own that word? Like Apple, the company.
So if you want to start anew with a company, a product idea, a service idea. And Maxwell and I do this a lot. They'll come to us and they'll say, this is the name I want to use. Is it clear? Is it something that I can use and I'm not going to run into someone else in the market? I'm not going to trespass a trademark property line. And what we can do is to run a search with a name and even a logo. Those are relatively easy to search on a trademark office database, the U.S. Trademark Office, and also using Google. So when Apple wanted to use Apple as their brand, I assume that someone did a search on the Trademark Office website, and you can do a Boolean word search combined with goods and services. So they would have searched Apple in connection with software. And they ultimately got it registered because at that point in time, no one else was connecting an Apple to a computer company. Google can do the same thing for you. We have other clients that go ahead and just start using a name. And then years after the fact, they may come to us and say, hey, I got a letter from another company that's telling me I can't use my name.
Yeah.
And then we look at who used it first in time, were the uses maybe in different geographic markets so that they really wouldn't intersect. And sometimes we have to tell a client, well, you got to find a way to coexist or maybe change your name because you didn't do your homework when you started up down your path of a company.
Do you want to speak for a little bit about the aspect of classifications with trademarks? That might help clarify everything a bit.
Sure. So with trademarks, when Apple owns the name Apple as a trademark for its company, it does so in connection with very specific goods and services. That is, it's connected with software and hardware and some of the services related to it. That does not preclude someone else from owning the word Apple in another context. An example that I give is Corel. So Corel, C-O-R-E-L, is a software that's been used, and I think it's still on the market. So it's a computer-related product. Corel, pronounced the same, C-O-R-R-E-L-L-E, is a dinnerware.
Yes.
So if we're just talking, if I use that word and you don't see the spelling, it sounds the same. Both of those companies are entitled to own that very same sounding mark and very much identical in appearance, except for some additional R's and L's, because they're in entirely different markets. So with trademarks, you get to protect your brand, your identity, if you will, with respect to your goods and services. And in fact, a trademark can only exist when it's connected to those goods or services. You could buy a domain name now on something that you may want to create as a company years from now. Let's, you know, call it blue.com. That may be taken actually, but it only becomes a trademark. The word blue becomes a trademark, not when you buy a domain name because you're not connecting it to anything. It would become a trademark when you actually create a website and put your products on it or your services on it.
Right.
It doesn't have to be registered. That right exists as soon as that connection is made between the brand and a good or service. It's as simple as if you opened a pizza shop in your neighborhood and called it Mama's Pizza. And as soon as you put that sign up over the door, you have a trademark. You can try to then later get it registered if you want to franchise it and take it on a national basis. But to Maxwell's question, it's specific to the goods and services that you connect it with.
That makes sense. And I mean, like, we both come from the beauty world where, especially when it comes to naming products and brand names.
Even
like,
shade names.
Even shade, like colors of products. It's so complex about who owns what, who can...
Who owns what and the level of risk, because, you know, there are three like levels of approval or not that I will get with a product name or a shade name. There's obviously denied, there's approved. And then there's, you know, the middle ground, like you can proceed on risk. Like there is risk of a lawsuit here, but it's not unique enough to this company for the legal team to then tell me no and tell the brand no. So then it's up to the brand to say, like, do we want to proceed with the risk of legal action being taken? Do we feel this is ownable enough to us? Blah, blah, blah. That actually brings me to a question that we did not brief you on, and we can cut this out if you don't want to answer it. But in the last year, there have been two high profile celebrity beauty naming cases where both Hailey Bieber, who started Rode Skin, and Kim Kardashian, who started Skin with SKKN, both launched these brands and then got sued because they were, in Hailey Bieber's case, another smaller skincare brand was already named Rode. And then Kim's, I believe there's a spa in Brooklyn with the same name, same spelling. So I'm sure that their legal team knew this and still obviously proceeded. Was that proceeding on risk, knowing that these are famous and rich people that they can just buy themselves out of a lawsuit or settle out of court? Like, how does that happen? Because everyone was so up in arms about this, but I was like, well, of course they, of course they just went ahead with it because they're loaded. Like, was that a, like, out of court settlement? Like, how do brands like that, how are they able to keep their name and go to market?
So I'm not familiar with the details of either of those cases. They all are very different in terms of the detail in the background. I can tell you what sometimes happens with a party that wants to take a brand national is that there may be someone that's used it in one state or a couple of states on the same or a similar product. And the test for whether a mark might be blocked or if it's infringing is whether the consumers would associate the second mark with the first company. Mm. And by that association, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the very same goods, but in the consumer's mind, would the same company be offering the same in a range of goods or services, the same thing that the second one does? An example would be the one first company sells video games, the second company sells board games. Yeah. They're two different media, but it's very common to the consumer to go to a store where you can get both board games and video games. Mm-hmm. I know this because I've had clients that deal with this, or to see a board game transferred into a video game. So with the examples that you just referenced, it may be that someone was using the mark in a smaller market. They may have seen opportunity to try to leverage a very famous or well-known person. Oftentimes, these things get worked out outside of court.
Right.
The parties have the ability to work on what might be known as a consent agreement or coexistence agreement. The parties try to find a way where they can coexist by maybe narrowing or distinguishing their market channels or agreeing that they may not use other parts of the name. They may not use a common color. They may not use a similar font. They try to find ways to make sure that from the consumer perspective, the confusion won't happen.
Okay. So that makes sense.
Again, without knowing more about those cases, I'm not sure how they got with those.
Fair. A very lawyerly response.
Yeah.
As you were explaining that, and I mean, the whole reason that we have you on our pod, because we're very perplexed about this, in how trademarks are established. When it comes to something like a scent, which is purely experiential on an individual basis, how does one make a trademark out of an experience?
Experiential and invisible.
Invisible. Sensory.
I can talk about this a little bit.
Yeah. Maybe
you can jump in and correct me if I'm misspeaking. But I think it's worth talking about a little bit the kind of the background of the idea of trademarking a scent.
Yes,
right?
Please.
Where that came from and where it first, the first case that an application where that occurred, right? So, and there's a handful of different instances that I'll touch on, but the most noteworthy one is the first registration of a smell mark in the world, which happened here in the United States in 1990. And that was from a case that went on appeal, and the case is called In Re Celia, DBA Clark's Oh So Easy. Oh So Easy was the brand of the product for which the applicant was seeking to trademark part of that. And the decision came out of the Trademark Trial and Appeal Board, which is part of the United States Patent and Trademark Office. It dealt with an applicant who sought a mark for sewing thread and embroidery yarn. Simple enough, right? But the catch here was that the yarn itself would have a scent or a fragrance. And so, without going too much into the brief of that whole case, the appeals court ultimately determined that the applicant had in fact demonstrated that the fragrance, the scented fragrance, does function as a trademark to the thread and the embroidery yarn. Mm-hmm. And under those circumstances, there is no reason why a fragrance is not capable of serving as a trademark in order to identify and distinguish a certain type of product, right? It's worth noting, though, that the fragrance is not inherent. It's not an inherent attribute, right? Or a natural characteristic.
Right, yeah.
So the goods, but rather a feature that's supplied and applied by the applicant. So if you buy yarn anywhere else, yarn doesn't necessarily have a scent, right? That's not an inherent function to the yarn. It's something that was added, right, as a distinguishing feature to that product.
Yes.
Another great example of this same kind of idea is Play-Doh. When we play with Play-Doh, when you open the lid to the Play-Doh, you get it's a distinct smell. You smell immediately what Play-Doh smells like, right? If you close your eyes right now, you can picture what that smell smells like. Well, Plato was able to protect the scent of Plato because the scent's distinct enough and it's immediately recognizable. And it doesn't serve what's called a specific function to the product. And that's the key here. Meaning you can use in, I guess, enjoy, even though it didn't have the smell, but you could use just the same Plato if the scent was totally absent, right? Yes. It wouldn't diminish your ability to use and play with Plato and everything else. So that's kind of the key here with when we talk about trying to apply for a trademark or a scent.
Okay, so it's an intentionally added.
Yeah. So if the utilitarian function of the product is to have a scent, right? Like perfume or cologne or air freshener, you're not going to be able to get a trademark for that because it's this without the scent, there's nothing. That's the product. That's the essence of what it is. It is the scent, right? But when scent is a distinguishing feature to something else, that makes it different in the eyes of the trademark office with respect to going through this process to get a trademark reviewed and approved. There are a handful of other instances more recently than 1990 where there have been scents, right? S-E-E-N-T-S, scents that have been trademarked. Notably, Verizon in 2014 trademarked the scent that they pump into all the retail stores. And they argued that the smell would help distinguish those locations from other consumer electronic retailers. So the next time you walk into a Verizon store, to the extent they're still doing this, who knows that their branding and marketing campaign changed by, you know, from 2014 through now.
Yeah.
But if you smell something in those stores that smells somewhat pleasant, it's probably this, what they applied to.
I'm going to go walk into a Verizon store next time I see what I just smell.
And other retailers are doing this too. Hotels are doing this. It's not just Verizon at this point. That kind of the diffuser scents and everything like that had caught on.
Yeah.
Other instances are footwear companies. They make, you know, flip-flops and sandals that are infused with smells of whether it's a candy, a bubble gum, or what have you. So there's many different instances where this concept of adding a scent, if you will, or having the scent as a featured attribute to a product happens, and they get legal protection from this in the sense of the trademark. But again, so the trick with all of this, at least in the United States, and Dave, you can talk a little bit about trademarks outside of the United States, but you have to show that the fragrance serves no important practical function other than to help identify and distinguish a brand. That's what it's doing. In other words, a product whose purpose is only smell related, again, perfumes, colognes, air fresheners, etc., cannot receive the protection of a scent trademark. And I found this out as I was thinking through all of this. And Dave, you might be able to comment on this better than I can. I don't have firsthand knowledge of this. My understanding is that the trademark applications for scents have to be actually smelled by the government examiners. These have to be provided. I don't know if that's true or not, but my research had picked up on that.
I was wondering that. It's like, is there a file where they have like the scent captured somewhere?
I don't know that I understand why a scent, I know you just explained it, I'm sorry, but like, I don't know that I understand why you can't trademark a scent as a scent. It has to be part of something else. I get it, but like, why couldn't you trademark like an angel or something?
The function.
Dave, you want to speak on
but
that?
I don't get it. Like, but okay, that's the reason.
No, that's a fair question.
Yeah.
That's definitely a fair question.
So trademark does not protect function. So if the purpose of the smell if that's the value that is, it's not the source identifier per se, but you're buying it because of the smell itself. Mm-hmm. That's where the trademark office draws the line. That's why colognes and perfumes are not subject to protection because they have a functional component. The examples that Maxwell shared are scents that don't have any connection to a function. Adding a scent to yarn doesn't help the yarn serve its purpose in any way.
Okay.
It is a distinguisher, and it ultimately was disallowed. The owner of that trademark took that up on appeal to a higher court and convinced the court that there was actually a source identification going on because they cited evidence of customer reviews and people that wrote in and talked about noticing the fact that their yarn had a scent or a smell and that they were starting to associate that smell with the yarn. the same thing with Play-Doh. If you have that, I mean, Maxwell and I were talking about this. I haven't opened a can of Play-Doh probably in a decade, but I guarantee if I did that right now, it automatically resonate in my mind with, yeah. Oh, that's Play-Doh.
Right.
And again, that's like the Apple word that I mentioned. If it connects in your mind to a company as opposed to the fragrance itself, then it's a trademark. So again, it's a fine line, if you will. It's difficult to understand why you can't protect the smell, but there are other ways to do that. The formula, if it truly is something that's due, might be protected by patent. And if it's something like the Coca-Cola formula that you can keep as a trade secret, no one else can replicate it, you might be able to protect it in that manner, put it under lock and key so that no one else is able to replicate it.
That makes sense, because thinking about the fragrance industry, they're super, super secretive about their formulations. So they're just very protective of that as like a trade secret. But then there will be these other dupe brands or knockoff brands that will make sense as similar to these, like, you know, big designer brands, and they'll name it something else, but then they'll be like, if you like this scent, you'll love this scent. And I always wonder, like, how do you get away with that?
Yeah.
Like, how do they get away with calling out the name that they're knocking off?
That's my question too, because you can name a fragrance. Yeah. That's an obvious point to like whatever you're trying to dupe and just be obvious about it. But the fact that they say like, if you like Tom Ford, da da da, that's to Sable's question. It's like, how in the hell are they not like sued down because of that?
Well, and there, I think they are getting very close to the line of trying to piggyback on a trademark.
Yeah.
That is the name of the fragrance is a trademark.
Right.
The company name that you might reference, and you do have an infringement if the consumer believes that you're affiliated with, endorsed by, sponsored by the owner of the other brand. That's why every once in a while on the streets of New York, you've got the trademark police come by and they try to sweep all the knockoff purses and the Gucci bags and all of that.
Right.
Because that's a trademark infringement. There's also something known as trade dress, the look of products in a way that, again, is associated with a particular company.
I was wondering if there are certain scents that just can't be trademarked. For instance, like the smell of a banana. Everybody knows that smell belongs to bananas. So it's like, how can a company take that smell and say, this is our brand scent? Mm. Does that sort of thing exist? Are there scents that are off limits?
So this goes back again to what is a trademark? It's a source identifier, and it's not owned exclusive to all others. So Apple can be used for all kinds of things, but you can't use it now to identify a software company because it's owned specifically there. If banana was used by a company as you walked into an ice cream store, if all the Baskin and Robbins wanted to put a banana scent once you walk into their store and try to trademark it, that would be possible because they're not trying to own banana as the scent, but they are trying to claim that using it in connection with their stores and to the exclusion of all other ice cream and maybe bakery stores, that might be possible.
Right. Because I figured if there was like a bakery that trademarked the scent of baked goods, everyone would be fucked. All other bakeries would be out of business.
Green Light, Cinnabon, with their...
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know what they've done from a legal standpoint. I'm just using that as a pop into my head.
No, that's a great one because you can smell it like yards away.
But it's very identifiable.
Yeah.
How long, I might be going off script here again, but how long does a trademark last? Because I'm working on naming a fragrance for a brand right now. And like, I've seen what legal has sent back to us and said like, denied, 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 like this brand owns this, this brand owns this. But sometimes there's a postscript that's like, say it's like Donna Karan owns that name until 2028. So what does that mean? And also, is that the same thing? Is that the same reason that like Disney revamps all their shit every 20 years? So it won't go into IP so anyone can do anything they want with their characters. I don't know if what I just said made any goddamn sense.
It does. We know what you're talking about. Dave, you want to talk about the statutory?
Right. So when you talk about Disney characters, they're protected by copyright. And copyright has a life cycle. It's the author plus a period of years. If it's an individual, for a company, it's a fixed period of years. And after that, those years end. the item that was copyrighted. It could be a book. It could be an artistic rendition of a character. They're in the public domain. An example that comes to mind is that the Sherlock Holmes books now sit at a point in time where the earliest of those books are beyond the lifetime of protection for Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, his life plus a period of years. Mm-hmm. The later books that he wrote still are within that. So you've got some books that now can be copied, published without paying a royalty, and later books in time that are still subject to protection. That's copyright. Patent also has a fixed period of time. It's 20 years from the date of filing. So if certain fragrances are protected by patent, just like certain drugs are protected by pharmaceutical companies, get them protected by patent, that is how they keep the generics out until such point as in time as the patent expires. And then in the case of pharmaceuticals, those formulas are known. They have to be subject to FDA and approval. Once the patent expires, others can replicate it and you use other names. So when you're talking about instances of things that might become public at some point down the road, it may be with reference to copyright. It could be with reference to a patent. The good news is that a trademark can last forever so long as you keep connecting that mark to the identified goods and services. And a trade secret can exist forever as long as you keep it a trade secret.
Ooh.
Wow.
As soon as the secret's out, it's over.
Great example of the public domain that I'm sure you both are familiar with is the song Happy Birthday. It's now in the public domain. And I don't know, that was probably in the last 10 years or so, I would say.
Wow, just the last 10 years? That's crazy.
Yeah, very recently. It might be more recent than the last 10 years. But I used to work in the TV world, and in the TV world on the production on which I worked, there was a strong rule that none of the participants and anybody on camera was allowed to sing or hum or do anything with Happy Birthday for the royalties that were associated with that and everything. So
that's so funny.
Wow. Yeah. You mentioned before about how hotels, for instance, are scenting their lobbies as a sort of scent branding. And we've spoken to the entities that like create those scents.
Yeah.
And in my mind, that was just kind of like a little marketing add-on. And I wonder, is that the type of scent that can also be trademarked? And if so, how come every hotel smells like sandalwood?
Yes, I think it can be trademarked, similar to what we discussed earlier. If the scent is being associated with perhaps the hotel itself, right? If it's the Marriott or something like that. Again, they won't be able to get protection for just the scent for the sake of the scent itself because of what we talked about. But in my experience, I see brands now trying to go after different ways of protecting the brand and growing the brand, right? Normally, they focused on traditional trademarks, brand names, word marks, stylized word marks, logos, design marks. But now I see clients looking at at least non-traditional trademarks, scent, sound, and color, essentially, to see how they can approach those, you know, be a little more creative, I guess.
Yeah. That's interesting. Why do you think so many brands are chasing scent as a branding property for them?
Our noses are distinct. That's one of our best senses that we have as human beings, I think. And I think everybody knows that, right?
Yeah.
It's tied to memory.
Yeah. I mean, it is, you know, you can read about this and you probably have done podcasts on this. It has a connection to memory in ways that some of our other senses do not. I mean, I can walk into a place and smell something and it can bring back a memory from 20 and 30 years ago. It's like, oh my God, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can capture that in a way to connect it to a brand, that's very powerful. And if you can protect it as a trademark so that someone else can't use banana in an ice cream store, again, or hypothetical, how powerful is that?
Yeah. Has there ever been examples of someone chasing someone for infringing upon their scent trademark?
You know, not that I've seen. So as Maxwell said, the actual list of registered trademarks or smells or fragrances is very small. It's not easy to get it. You have to show that it's not functional, but also that it actually connects in the mind of the public with a source. So given the small amount of actual protected marks, I'm actually it doesn't surprise me that I did not stumble across an infringement case. That's not to say that there may not have been some cease and desist letters out there that we haven't seen or we don't know about, but we don't know about them.
Do you think that in the era of like everyone and their mother starting a brand, be it beauty or anything else, any other category, and, you know, really having to, one, brand themselves, two, differentiate themselves, and three, stand out, that, like you said, all the things that are now moving into, you know, possibility of copyright, be them color, sound, or smell, do you think that looking ahead, we are going to see more fragrances or fragrance, you know, situations trying to be trademarked and be like more ownable to whatever brand?
The fact that we've got people that have been successful more recently in time obtaining protection on a fragrance as a trademark tells me, and connect it to that the powerful memory hook that they have, it tells me that we ought to be doing more to try to see, when I say we, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're, you know, selling something, you should very much keep in mind the opportunity and the power that you can obtain by getting that kind of protection.
I'll speak on the marketing aspect of it. I think the answer is yes. I think if you're a marketer and you're marketing a brand or a product and you're able to inch out the competition by a millimeter, then that equals revenue, that equals dollars in the door, that equals success for the brand, equals success for the product. So if I were a marketing agency or in that space, I would explore every avenue possible to try to get that edge in the competition.
Right, right. That makes sense.
Yeah. I wonder if any type of person or entity or, I don't know, company or brand is like anybody able to trademark a scent?
Do you mean to apply for it?
Like if I wanted to trademark a scent for me, like, am I legally allowed to do that?
Yeah. I mean, it's so the owner of a trademark does not have to be the maker of the scent. We'll go back to our banana hypothetical. If you hired someone to create the aromatic scent of a banana that can be wafted through an ice cream store, and you own what you hired that person to make, trademark is connected to the owner of the store, the person that then is selling the ice cream and wants to create the banana connection, the banana fragrance in the mind of everyone who walks in that door. Mm-hmm. That could be a company. It could be a person, but it is the user of that fragrance, not the creator of it.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah.
I think I get that. That's interesting. It made me hearken back to the times when like Paris Hilton tried to either trademark or copyright That's Hot. And then I think it was denied.
I miss her. Whatever happened to Paris Hilton?
She's still around.
Is she?
Yeah.
God bless her.
Yeah. She just had a baby. She's thriving.
Well, this has been like, I feel like we've learned so much, and yet I have so many more questions, you know what I mean? But we've talked about the trademarking of fragrances and what the hell that actually means for a long time. So it was good to finally be able to connect with you and have you suss it out for us. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting us join in. And
listen, we're probably going to need some lawyers at some point. That's why we made this connection. Let's be honest.
Is there anything else that you think we didn't cover that you think is important to add?
You know, not on smells, but I'll go back and touch on the fact for your listeners and for anyone who's thinking about how do I use my trademark. I did mention words, logos. We've talked about fragrances and smells, but our other senses can be impacted by this too. Colors can be protected as trademarks. Mm-hmm. The Louis Vuitton red on the bottom of shoes, for an example, is trademarked. And sounds, the ESPN is trademarked.
Yeah.
Among others. So I'll leave that for the creative minds that are trying to figure out how do I resonate my product, my service in the minds and ears and hearts of my consumers.
Right.
Ooh. All right. I actually know somebody who makes the little like jingle sounds for like computer software.
Oh, so, nice.
Like when you like open up the windows, it's like doo 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 doo. Like he does stuff like that, which I think is funny.
Yep. My dream job.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I understood very little of that.
Okay. I got it.
Okay.
I got most of it. So
I got the beginning of it.
Yeah.
Maybe I did it. I still sort of don't get why you can't just trademark a scent. But I don't think it makes sense. Like, I think like what I don't get is what I don't get. Like, sure. I don't understand why it has to be attached to a function, you know?
No, but it cannot be attached to a function.
See?
I get it in that remark, but what I don't get is why you can't trademark a scent for its function.
I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why can't you trademark a perfume?
I just don't think there's a reason.
Yeah, I kind of think there's not a reason. Like, right. I think then everybody would be trademarking their scents.
Right.
But trademark does not cover function. That's why. And if the function of the smell is to smell nice, that is, then you can't trademark it.
But why can't it cover function?
Right? Well, that's a question for the law.
Fuck.
Why can't you trademark a function? Yeah. I think is the bigger question.
Well, I try to talk to lawyers as little as possible, so...
I wonder if it's like a free market thing. Because if you trademark a function, then nobody else can do it. Then it's like a monopoly.
Oh.
Maybe it's that. They like, we see where this path will lead.
That's true.
Nowhere good.
Well, it's not stopping Ticketmaster.
Wait, aren't they like under scrutiny for being too big? And now there's like
for an being a monopoly.
Yeah. And now there's like an antitrust thing.
They are a monopoly.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now we know.
You can only capitalism too
close to the sun.
Yeah. So far to the sun, yes. Before it's antitrust.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did think that was interesting. And like the whole, you know, dupery of it all. I was like, how do these guys get away with it?
Yeah.
And he's like, they don't. It's just a matter of who's going to come after them.
Right.
So I was like, oh, that explains that.
I'm sure that's an airtight legal team.
Yeah. Because there's so many brands that do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there always have been.
Yeah.
I was interested to learn that the earliest scent trademark was only 1990.
Yeah.
Like, that's like fairly modern, I think.
Right. Right.
So I feel like we're going to see a lot more scent trademarks.
Yeah. I think so, too. I think we're going to see a lot more of trademarking everything.
Mm. Oh my God, everyone has to own everything.
I know.
I mean, fair enough, man. You can't own property these days, so you might as well own a set.
That's true. He'll never own home.
Yeah. Anyway, that was the one legal edition of Smell You Later.
The only one we will ever have. Unless we get sued.
Unless we get
sued. Just kidding, I'm not putting that in the universe.
I wonder what we would get sued for. Defamation? Probably defamation.
You can follow us on Instagram.
Please don't sue us.
If we haven't gotten sued for defamation yet. Mm. If you want to leave us a voice note, you can, or buy our very comfortable merch, or just hit us a line at smellylater.live. You can follow us on Instagram at smellylater.mp3. You can follow me at Tynan Buck.
And I'm at Sable Tooth Tigra.
And until next time, we will smell you later.